or a reasonable facsimile thereof. We're going for just an hour today till 6 o'clock, and then it's Michigan State basketball here on WPHM as they play a rather important game, I think, at Penn State. I don't know if Paul Costanzo will agree with me, but after knocking off Maryland on Saturday with two games left in the regular season, the Spartans still have a chance to finish in first in the Big Ten, because it's not out of the realm of possibility, Paul, that Maryland loses one of its last two games.
Yeah, no, not at all. And, you know, Michigan State did what they needed to do. I mean, I think that that's putting it lightly, what they did on Saturday. It was a ridiculously impressive win. But they did what they needed to do to put themselves in position to, you know, grab a piece of that Big Ten title in the regular season. And, you know, kudos to them. And I don't want to jinx them, because I've said this before. Every time I praise how they're playing, they drop one. but there, I mean, that was probably the most complete performance. I mean, that was a going on the road and beating Maryland like that, right? That's what a Final Four type team does. Those are the types of games that they win and the way that they win them. And, you know, they've got to go to Penn State and, you know, do it all over again tonight. But yeah, they look really good at this very moment.
Why does it come and go, though? Why are they so inconsistent?
I don't know. And I think that if one of us had the answer to that question, Tom Izzo would probably pay us a lot of money to be on his staff. Because the consistency has been the biggest thing that they've been missing all year long. And it's they've been up and down, up and down. And their highs are very high, like the game on Saturday, and then some of their lows are pretty low. And it's, you know, that's a problem for an entire season. Now, when you play in a sport where you really just have to get hot for a month, that could work out very well for them. So we'll see if they can finally capitalize on some of the momentum that they've created.
Winston and Tillman are reliable. You know, well, Winston does what he does every game, and Tillman does something for them every game. Usually it's score and rebound, and on nights when he doesn't score and rebound, he defends the, you know, guys like Graza and helps you win basketball games. So the wild cards are some nights Rocket Watts scores 21 and the world looks terrific. Some nights Foster Lawyer knocks down a few shots when Winston needs a breather. Some nights, you know, Arns or Henry gives them something. The problem is just not every time.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the issue is when you have inconsistent players behind your star players, you know, that's why you get what they're getting. It's just a matter of, you know, one of them has to step up, right, each night. If they get a game where a couple of them do, then look out. It's just, you know, who's going to do it on what night? And it's harder to do it on the road in college basketball, that's for sure. So I don't know. I don't know how you make inconsistent players consistent. I guess that's probably what every coach is looking for.
Well, they go to Penn State tonight, this tough game. I'm sure that Winston will give them Winston numbers. I'm sure Tillman will give them Tillman numbers. The question is will one of those other guys help them out tonight?
Oh, you're asking me that? I don't know the answer to that question. That's crazy, Dennis. I mean, they did it in a road environment on the weekend, and in a big-time road environment. That's a primetime game. Game day was there in the morning. You know, you got Scott Van Pelt predicting a big win for Maryland. I mean, like, it everything was coming together for that big crowd that stifles those role players, right? That they struggle, and they came up big. So they know that they can do it. Do they have the confidence can that carry over into tonight? I have not seen it consistently enough from them to confidently say yes. But we know it's there, which I guess is one thing they can lean on.
Well, we know it's a big game for them. Maryland's at Rutgers tonight. Rutgers is 17-1 at home this season. And then Maryland has to play Michigan on Sunday. So like I say, it's possible that they could lose one of these two games. It's possible that they could lose both of these games. It's also possible they could win them both and make everything else that we're talking about a moot point.
Yeah, I feel like you just described the entire Big Ten basketball season in that 15 seconds. Yeah, I mean, Rutgers, they're playing kind of for their tournament lives all of a sudden. You know, a team that looked like, you know, a lock to make the tournament for the first time in a while, now it has struggled a little bit down the stretch, so they've got to win a game like this to really solidify themselves. And, you know, we know what Michigan is capable of, but again, that's a team that now, where are they at? So it's it could go either way in both of those games. It'll be fun and interesting, let's just say that.
Well, I think if you're Michigan, you're very motivated for that Sunday game, because, I mean, you always have the Big Ten tournament maybe to bail you out, but you need, I think, another signature win just to remind people that you belong in the tournament.
Yeah, I don't think they're in danger of dropping out of it. I think what they're in danger of is ending up on that 8-9 seed line, which, you know, that's maybe in this year it doesn't matter that much, but still, you'd rather not end up there. You'd rather not see the number one seed, probably in a friendly environment to them, in the second round. So that's their biggest thing, is just getting some momentum going is the big thing. Because right now, you know, the loss at home to Wisconsin, and then, you know, losing on the road against Ohio State, that happens, right? It's a top 25 team. It's a good team. But the way that Ohio State kind of pulled away, and it looks like some teams have maybe found some cracks in, you know, Michigan's armor in some cases, that's concerning. So they have to clean some stuff up, and beating Maryland certainly goes a long way toward doing that.
All right. I should add in that Wisconsin and Illinois are also in the hunt, but if we had a 3- or 4-way tie for the Big Ten title, we'll just rename the league the BWAC.
Oh, very good. It's been a while since I've talked about the B-Wacky, Dennis. I'm glad you brought that up.
It's usually in football that they have the crazy finishes, or used to. In recent years, it's been pretty two-dimensional. If Elmont doesn't win it, Richmond does. I guess for a couple of years we had Algonac in there too.
Yeah, we're a little ways away from the 4-way tie among the top of an 8-team league. But that did happen, so it earned its name.
It certainly, and that was a really weird season where games did not. It was hard to prognosticate that year. Where a lot of years, it's kind of easy to make certain picks. Mm-hmm. That was a tough year because there were some games that shouldn't have happened that did. All right, the girls' basketball playoffs got underway last night. The hockey playoffs have been going on for about a week, and I know you're going out to cover a game tomorrow. You're going to see Northern and Chippewa Valley, I presume?
I am, yes. Headed back down to Suburban Ice in Macomb.
Have you had much of a chance to see the Huskies?
I haven't seen them. I've seen I'm to the point now, Dennis, where I'm old enough where a lot of my friends have Facebook friends have high school kids. So I see that. But, I mean, the results that they've had so far this year have been impressive. And I think they, you know, Vegas obviously doesn't put lines on high school games, but I think that they're the favorite, right, in this game against Chippewa Valley. So that's exciting for Northern. And it looks like, I mean, in Daryl McCarroll's last season, they're putting together, they have the capability to put together a nice little run.
And I think that's kind of part of it, too, for the guys. Mm-hmm. I think they want to win for Daryl at this stage of the game. The only thing I'll say about Chippewa Valley is they haven't been scored on in the regional yet. And Marysville and Anchor Bay, I'm not going to call them powerhouses, Paul, but they're also not bad teams. So
yeah, no, solid teams for sure.
Yeah, so they beat Marysville 3-0. They beat Anchor Bay 1-0. But Northern's been on a roll. They crushed Romeo 6-1. Chad Natzel had 3 in that one. They beat we're calling them Ubley, but they're like 12 schools.
Yes, by the way,
8-0. And Logan O'Flanagan had I think it was 4 goals in that game. So they've had different heroes each night. And this is, too, always when we get to this stage of the hockey season, this is where playing in the MIHL and playing all those tough games shows out for Northern, because they're obviously tempered in steel when you play Brother Rice and Catholic Central and so on and so on and so on. And they had some big wins in league this year. So,
yeah, that's the biggest thing, is that when the speed of the game is normal to you, which it ends up being that way for Northern, when it gets more intense as you get into the playoffs, they handle it better than other teams. And, you know, obviously, if Chippewa Valley's got a solid defense and a goalie who's playing really well, you know, that's a pretty good combination in the postseason, especially in single elimination play, right? But the way that Northern scores and the way that they get it from so many different kids, just from what I've seen, it seems like another really good recipe for success.
Yeah, they do. They're three lines deep. That's always a good thing too when you get in the postseason. So tomorrow 5:30 over at Suburban Ice Arena, and the winner of that game will play Saturday in the quarterfinals, also at Suburban Ice Arena, against either Lake Orion or Brother Rice. So it gets real tough when you reach the quarterfinal stage.
It does, but again, Northern knows Brother Rice. They've seen him. They aren't going to be intimidated. Which is good, because I think a lot of times, you know, we have teams who get to that part of the postseason and they start to see those big name teams that they haven't seen. Northern's familiar, so it's not going to phase them if it is Brother Rice that they see in the quarterfinal.
Yeah, that's a really good point. So sometimes you talk yourself out of it before the game,
right.
And in this case, there's no reason for them to do that. And just go out and play, and no, actually, it should be easier for them because they have nothing to lose.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. And if I remember correctly, the last time they played Brother Rice, they played them very tough, at least early on. You know, it is. It's one of those things where you get one shot. It's a one-game elimination. You know, you play better on that night, and you move on. You don't have to beat them again. You just beat them on Saturday. So, and I know Daryl will certainly push that point home if they get by Chippewa Valley tomorrow.
All right, good stuff. Keep me posted tomorrow, because I'll be watching the Port Huron Northern and Port Huron High girls play in their district playoff games.
I will. I will let you know.
All right, good stuff. And thanks as always, Paul.
Thank you, Dennis.
All right, there's Paul Costanzo joining us. We're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back with more on the Dennis Stuckey Show in just a moment here on WPHM.